Real quick, Braden. Jesse, will you come here real quick? And Jake, come here real quick. Okay. Hey, we're going to do something real quick to start off. I want to do a little something. Okay. If you guys notice, these are my friends, Jake, Jesse, and Braden. Say hi, Jake, Jesse, and Braden.
Hi, Jake, Jesse.
Okay, you guys can say hi back.
Hi.
Okay. All right. Now you said you can say hi back. Okay. If you notice, there are some X's on the stage here. I put those there. Okay, I want you, each of you are going to stand on the X. We're going to do a little exercise, okay? Not like real exercise, but like an exercise. Okay, here's the deal. If you look in these two tubs here, there is a bunch of random stuff, like totally random stuff. I literally just was like, let's throw random stuff in these tubs. So, bunch of random stuff in the tubs. Here's what I want you guys to do. When I say go, build the highest structure that you can build. All right? The only rule is don't like hit each other or beat each other up or anything like that. Okay? Play nice. All right? Build the highest structure you can. Go. You got all this stuff in here. You can use whatever's in here. Just make it. Let's see who can get. Okay. I just want to see the highest structure that you can make. Let's see. All right. Okay. Okay. You can play soccer, bro? You can do soccer? Or, oh, no. Okay. There you go. Okay. All right. That's going to fall over. Yeah. Oh, that's cute. That's nice looking. Okay. Oh, there. A little change action. Okay. Don't. Okay. All right. Yeah. You gained a couple inches. Okay. Okay. You got about 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. You guys go ahead. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. All right. You guys actually used everything in here. Okay, a couple things I noticed. Here's a couple of things that I noticed with this. First of all, nobody used this, which would have been super helpful, huh? Like, those would have been helpful. I didn't really give you any rules. But this is the interesting thing, and I'm not trying to pick on you guys because I would have done the same thing that you would have done. So we're in the same boat. But What I said was, I wanted you guys to build the highest thing possible. I actually never said I wanted you guys to build three different things or that this was separate, right? But I was like, I want you to build the highest thing. So we could have come together. Do you think off the top of your head, if you would have done this together as a team, do you think you could have gotten it higher if the three of you worked together than you did individually?
Probably would have tipped over.
He's like, yeah, would have got, because you were really confident that it would have been like really high. Yeah. Well, this is good. You guys are obviously super creative, and this looks great. All right, give them a hand, you guys. Sit down. Here's the deal. Good job. I didn't give you guys any rules or anything. What I said was, I didn't even say to go against each other. What I had said was just build the tallest thing that you could build possible. Now, here's what happens a lot of times, and I would have done the same thing, was... We kind of just view it as like, oh, okay, well, I'm on my own. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it the tallest that I can make it on my own. But when actuality is that if you guys would have, all three of you kind of looked at each other and been like, all right, let's do this. I bet you could have used everything and really built it up higher. And that's what happens a lot in the church. Is that we view ourselves as individuals and not part of something that's bigger than ourselves, right? We don't view ourselves as something where we combine all of our talents and abilities and gifts together, and together we are better than we are separate, right? Together we are better than we are separate. Last week we talked about, so we're in a 2-week series. I just did something I'm not supposed to do again. Remember? I've told you this before. Gum. Bad call, Josh. Sorry, I'm better now. So last week we talked about identity and what is identity and what is your identity and who are you? Remember, and we talked about a few things that Peter says you are. He says you are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen people belonging to God. That is what Peter says you are. That is our identity. That is who we are. We are not what we are called at school. We are not what people at school or our friends give us and the labels that we get at school. Because the truth is sometimes those labels are no good and they're not true. And they're shallow. But our identity is much, much deeper than that. And tonight, I want to talk a little bit more about identity and who you are, but more importantly, what role do you play, and how are you connected to the church and the body, and who are we together, and are we better together than we are separate? So if you have your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love to see everybody grabbing their Bibles. That's good stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And last week, if you weren't here, I took a little bit of time and I really, really wanted to speak to the ladies and just let the ladies know that you are so much more than just your outward appearance. And I hope that's true. I honestly believe I could say that every single week. That's one of those things where if you guys come often, you'll hear I say a lot of things over and over and over and over again, right? Like you hear some of the same phrases out of my mouth all the time, but it's because I want you to hear it and I want you to, like, I want that to just sink into who you are. And one of the things that I think I could say every single week, and I think it would never get old, is I want you to know you are so much more than your outward appearance. That your looks and the way that you present yourself does not define who you are. And I could say that every week. Today we're going to talk about something good, though. I think it'll be good. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12, let me pray, and then we're going to jump into the Bible. God, you're good to us. Pray that you use this word, this text, to speak to us, God, that our identity would come from this, not from the voices around us or the outward, what people at school or in our culture say, but God, we are who you say we are, and I pray that today we would learn that. We would learn that we have a purpose and a plan, and that you, God, have a purpose for us as individuals and us as a body. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump in. I got a lot of good stuff to cover today. So I'm going to read through verse 26, all right? Through verse 26, we're going to start in verse 12. So we're going to 12 to 26. Here we go. I'm just going to go through and get it. It says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So Paul right here is talking to a body of Christians. He's talking to a group of Christians, and he's making an analogy just so we know this going forward. He's saying, we are like a body. And he's talking to a group just like I'm talking to a group. And this is what he's telling him. He's like, the body is a unit. It's made up of many parts, but it's one. And then he just keeps going. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Just in case you guys are lost here, you are all parts of the body. Okay, that's the correlation. We are all a part of the body. You are all parts. And he just said, let me read that last verse again. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So Paul says this. He goes, he gives the analogy. And I think this helps too sometimes, right? He says, it's like, this is like this. And he says, the body of Christ, which is the title that we have been given. As believers, when you place your faith in Jesus, what happens then is you become part of a new family, and it's called what it's the term that is used is called the body. We are the body of Christ. And what Paul says is that you, church, the body, are just like a body. He compares us to a body. He says, you're like a body. Now, there are many parts that make up one body, right? Many different things make up our body. We don't need to do that. You guys are smart. I have eyes, I have ears, I have noses. We all have these different parts, but it all makes up who I am, right? It all makes up who I actually am. The whole me is compiled of many parts. And some parts may seem more important, Paul says, and then there are other parts that seem like, oh, who cares, whatever. But they all actually have a role, and they're all equally important. And so you play a part in the body of Christ, and you have a role. Now, there's something I want to really just make sure and make clear for you guys. The church is not a building, right? When we talk about the body of Christ, we talk about the church, and Paul talks about the church, it's not a building. Mission is just a structure. These are just four walls that we put up that we call sometimes a church. I'm trying to work on this with my son, my three-year-old. We drive down the street. Anytime we drive down Power or like Wrecker, he always looks and he goes, Dad, your church, mission. And I'm already trying to like, he's only three, so like I'm like trying to have a like mature conversation. I'm like, son, actually. And he's like, Dad. He's like, oh, Dad, you're right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that scripture. No, he doesn't. But I'm already trying to like teach him that the body, that the church actually isn't mission. That this is just the church building. This is just the place where the church actually comes to worship. Because if we were all of us in this room right now to stand up, we were to stand up and we were like, we're out of here. And we were to open that garage door and all of us marched over to Big League Dreams and sat down on the infield of one of the fields there. And we were like, yo, what up? That would be where the church is. Because we are the church. The church is made up of the people, not the building. And Paul says, the church is going to be my hands and feet, and you have a role. I was thinking about this and I was like, okay, cool. So talking about the body, and Paul's talking about the body a lot. What can we do to make this kind of clear to us? So my son loves Mr. Potato Head. He's like, dude, Dad, Mr. Potato Head, blah, blah, blah. This is one of those timeless gifts. Like I played with this when I was a kid, right? Like Mr. Potato Head has been around for a long time. So I was thinking about Potato, what are you doing, man? Come on. Act together. I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking, okay, well, what is Paul trying to say here? What is it that he's trying to paint? What picture? And I started thinking, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's just build a Mr. Potato Head, and we'll just make this kind of cool and do some stuff here. Gosh, Paul, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah, we got this. Oh, hey there, what up, yo? Sorry. Forgot where I was for a second. I'm just playing. Like, oh, I'm just playing. Okay. Oh, whoa, that's a good one. Mr. Potato Head, how are you doing? You guys cool? Do you need something to talk about real quick while I do this? Doing all right? Everybody's weekend going well? All right, you good? All right, yeah. Okay. Look at, oh, this right here. Okay. Dude, check out my Mr. Potato Head. Oh, wait a second. Whole bunch of mouths on Mr. Potato Head. Now, oh, and that right there, dude, this is what, you know, Mr. Potato Head has really come a long way. It's like there was no such thing as a rolled up tongue when I was a kid. But whoever works for Mr. Potato Head right now is super creative. They're like, oh, let's make a tongue. This looks ridiculous, huh? It looks ridiculous. Like, if my son put this together and came to me, he's like, Daddy, look, Mr. Potato Head. I'd be all, oh, boy, let's learn some things. Let's go over anatomy of the body. But he knows that this isn't true and that this doesn't work. Here's the thing. This Mr. Potato Head has a whole bunch of mouths on it, right? And it looks kind of ridiculous. And you're like, oh, that's funny, Josh. I get it. But sometimes in the church, what we do is we don't understand that we all have different roles. We can't all be the mouth. It would be ridiculous if we all played the same role. We all had the same gifts and abilities. Or if we were like a Mr. Potato Head and we all made our Mr. Potato Heads to look like this. Do you imagine if, like, we all had a lot of mouths like this? Like, I imagine, no offense, ladies, I made this joke last night, and it was, some girls are probably looking at this going, oh, dude, I could talk so much with all the mouths. That's awesome. Like, you would just talk to yourself. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, I don't know, girls. Girls talk more than guys. It is scientifically proven. There have been studies on it. Girls say like almost twice as many words a day than men. So this could help you. You could like take a nap and still get all your words in. If you ask Ethan, he would, and you're like, Ethan, make daddy. He would definitely use this arm right here. He'd be all, yeah, that's daddy right there. Except for this. See, look, boom. If you ask Ethan, you ask him, be like, Ethan, who's strong? Mr. Incredible? Yeah, he is. Who else? Daddy. Who are the strong people? Just Mr. Incredible and Daddy. That's right, son. And if any of you ruin it for me, I will come after you. Right now, he thinks I am strong. Dad's strength is real. Here's the deal. The church, though, is made up of many different parts. And this is ridiculous. This is silly because we all know that that wouldn't work and that's not the way that it's meant to be. But instead, it's meant to be like this, where there are the parts all play a certain role. And ears go here and nose goes here. And you have eyes like this. Ooh, those are pretty eyes. It's like looks like a guy, but then I switched it up on you and made it a girl. I should make it a girl with a mustache. That'd be funny. Boom. Look. Now you look at this and you're like, oh, that makes sense. Looks kind of goofy. But Mr. Potato Head now has all the parts to make up the Mr. Potato Head because that's what it needs. Eyes and nose and ears. Because if it didn't have all the different parts, it wouldn't function properly. The body of Christ, we as the church, as the junior high ministry, have roles. We need all of you guys to function the way that God wants us to function. Okay, let me tell you guys a little bit about myself. Because I have a couple things I really struggle with. I struggle with comparing myself to other people. Okay, so when I come on staff here at Mission and I'm a pastor, here's what I immediately did for like 2 years. I looked around at all the other pastors on staff, and I was like, gosh, those guys are so smart. Like, those guys have got it together. Those guys are good pastors. I'm not there. I'm always comparing myself. Or if I go to a camp or a conference and I meet a whole bunch of other youth pastors or junior high pastors, I immediately just start thinking and comparing myself, and I'm always falling short. I'm always like, gosh, wish I could be like them. I don't know why I'm doing this, blah, blah, blah. Because I'm always comparing myself to other people. Another thing I struggle with is just self-esteem. I want everybody to like me, right? So I'll do whatever it takes to have every single person in this room like me. Because I want you all to really like me. And that can be a bad thing. It can actually be a bad thing. Because then I'm just living to please everybody, right? But that's just one of those things I struggle with. Is I want everybody to like me. So I'll do things that I'll go to great extents just to make people like me. And I struggle with having a positive self-image about myself. Now, let's bring it to junior high level. I know how hard junior high is. I've been there. And you guys, it can be tough. How many of us get caught up comparing ourselves to other people? Yeah. Like, and ladies, you probably got it bad. And I don't know what it's like with ladies, all right? I don't know how it goes. But I imagine it's something like this. Like, if you compare yourself, you can go one of two ways when you're comparing. You either are really prideful and you think you're like the best, or you go and you're like struggling, and probably more so this, but you like show up to school and you're like, oh my gosh, oh, she is so pretty. I wish I could look like her. Oh my gosh, she's not even wearing makeup, and just wish I could do that. So good. I don't know what ladies do. That's just my impersonation. I don't know what goes on in your head. Or guys like, and we will never admit this. We will never admit this. And so I'm admitting it for every guy in this room. But we look at other guys and we're like, dude, that dude's strong. I want to be strong like him. Or, oh, dude, I'm so much stronger than him. Or, oh, man, that guy's ripped. Or, man, I wish I had muscles like that. Like, that's just guys do it, okay? Whether they admit it or not, guys do it. And ladies, we just want to impress you all the time. So anytime we're having a swim party, it's a good chance, especially in high school, maybe not in junior high, but especially in high school, it's a good chance that all the guys were just doing push-ups in the bathroom because they wanted to impress you. Like, they come out like, hey, ladies, what's up? Boom! Do you guys know that's why we have elbows, actually? The only purpose for elbows is so guys can flex. There's really no other purpose except for a guy to be like, boom! Oh, this? Just my guns? Actually, that's not true. It's so we can eat. Try it later. Okay. Sorry, I get distracted. I just get these things in my head, and I'm like, oh, that would be weird. Okay. But we struggle with comparing ourselves to people. And we struggle with accepting who we are and who God has created us to be. But Paul talks about it and he makes it very clear. He says, listen, this room right here is compiled of a bunch of different people. And that's a good thing. You don't need to compare yourself to other people to see if you measure up. Because that's the wrong thing that you're comparing yourself to. And it's not fair. And we struggle with wanting to look a certain way or be a certain way and comparing ourselves so that we feel like we have value. And God says, no, no, no. Actually, here's the beautiful thing about the church. Here's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. Here's the beautiful thing about this group and about the church in general is that we are all very different. Everybody stop for a second. Look around. Everybody look around and just look at each other. Very awkwardly, big eyes, go like this. Look at each other. Okay, did anybody see somebody that looks exactly like themselves, except for right here? Identical twins? Hey! Everybody else, though, we don't look the same, do we? We're all different. And here's the beautiful thing about this room, is that among you guys and all of everybody in here, each one of you has a special gift and special talents and special abilities. And God has created you in a certain way to be able to do certain things. If you would have asked me 12 years ago or told me 12 years ago, hey, Josh, hey, in 12 years, you're going to be a junior high pastor at a church. I would have looked at you and gone, a what? Is that even a church? Is that what's that? I don't even know. You're dumb. That's what I would have said. I met yesterday with a guy that that I went to high school with, and he asked me to do his wedding, and so I'm gonna marry him and his wife, and what's funny about that? Okay, I'm gonna officiate the wedding of him and his wife. Okay, like we're not all getting married. Like, oh yeah, dude, that's why I get married to you guys. Okay, I'm going to officiate his wedding. And so I was talking to him, though, and he doesn't know Josh 2013 Josh. He knows 1999 Josh. And so I'm like, dude, crazy, man. Who would have thought I would have been doing your wedding, huh, man? I'm like a pastor at church. And he's like, yeah. And like, I'm talking to him, and I'm talking different because God has changed me and transformed me and made me a different person. And I'm talking to him completely different than he probably would have ever thought about it because I'm telling him how to love his wife really well. And I'm telling him what it means to be a husband. And I'm telling him what it means to treat your wife with respect and how to lead her well. And in the circle I used to run in, like, that wasn't something you would ever talk about or say, right? You don't like, dude, respect your wife, man. She better be able to clean the house. You know what I'm saying? That's the old way. The new Josh is different. The new Josh says, no, love your wife and honor her. But 12 years ago, if you would have asked me or told me you're going to be a junior high pastor, I said, no way. But today I'm here, and this is what I do. And I don't think it's just by chance that I'm here. I don't think it's just by chance that I'm a junior high pastor, that I'm here with you guys, that I'm up here speaking. I don't think it's by chance. I think that God created me that way. This is the role that God has given me inside the church body. He has called me to do this. Now, imagine if he called all of us to be junior high pastors. That would be weird, huh? Especially because you're in junior high. You show up, y'all. Hey, I'm in eighth grade, and I'm the pastor here. Hey, you're in my math class. Come here. Let me teach you. Hey, that would be weird. That could totally happen. But God does not call all of us to be junior high pastors. He calls us all to be who he has created us to be and to fulfill his purposes and his plans with the gifts and abilities that he has given us. And so some of you in here, one day you might be a missionary, because that's the way God created you, is to go out into the mission field. Maybe he called you to be an elementary school teacher, because that's the way he's created you. Maybe you're going to play professional sports. Maybe you're going to be an engineer. Maybe you're going to be a janitor. Maybe you're going to work at a church. Maybe you're going to be working as lawyers. I don't know what, but the thing is God has a purpose and a plan for everybody, and it all fits together, and he's given us all different abilities and all different gifts. And here's the thing. I want you guys to understand this right now. You have gifts and abilities now that God wants to use now. And if you think that that's not true and you don't believe it, why don't we go to Chikutulire in Malawi, Africa, and ask 116 children that are getting food this year every single day. If we were to get 116 kids together and go, hey, guys, I just want to ask you some questions, kids. All right. So do you think junior high students can make a difference in the world? Because I don't. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to look at me and they're going to go, no, wait, hold on, time out. I'm eating a meal every single day because a group of junior high students in Gilbert, Arizona, at a church called Mission Community Church, made a decision to give money and be creative and raise money so that we could eat a meal every single day. So if you don't think you have a role and a purpose in the church right now, you are sadly mistaken, because you do. And God is already using this group of people, this group of students, already using you to make a difference in the world. And he's going, but you're my body. And you know what? If one of you tries to raise enough money to feed 116 children, might happen, probably not. But you know what happens when we all come together and go, hey, God created us all different, and he's going to use all our gifts and abilities in a different way, and he's going to do some really cool things in the world because we are a unit. And here's the safe thing. And this is like the freeing part that's good news for us. Is that as we look around this room and we notice that there's nobody else like us and that we're all different and we all have different gifts and abilities, and we notice that, it's okay. It's actually good. It's actually the way that God intended it to be. He wants us to be different. He wants us to use our unique giftings to serve the body. And next week, I'm going to talk about this. Next week, I'm just going to give you a preview. What does it mean for us, if you're in this room and you have said and placed your faith in Jesus and you're a Christian, what does it mean for you to go out and tell others about Jesus? And what does that look like? And is that a part of the purpose and a part of the plan? Is that the purpose of the body, is to go and tell others the good news of who Jesus is? Because I think it is. And the Bible also would say that. And it can be really scary doing something like that, but when you start to learn who you are and who God created you to be, you start to get this self-confidence of going, man, you know what? I'm awesome. No, wait, I'm not awesome, but the God that created me and the God that I know and love and serve, he's awesome, and he uses me to do his things in this world. He uses me to carry out his plan and his purpose in this world. And that is a beautiful thing. So here's what I want you to do this week as you go home. Think about this. What are your gifts? How has God wired you and created you? And I want to be really clear. Junior high, it's okay. We're still figuring this stuff out, right? I'm 32, and I'm still figuring out how God has wired me. I'm still like, oh, that's why I can do that, and that's why I'm good at that, because God wired me that way. I didn't even realize that. So it's not like you have to have this all figured out, but start thinking about this. How has God wired you? What are you good at? What do you love to do? What are you passionate about? And take those passions and then put that up and go, okay, God, if I'm passionate about this, how do you want to use me and my passions to work in your kingdom? How are you going to mesh those two things together? And God, who else do I need? What other parts and members of the body do I need to be able to team up with and do that? Because here's the deal. Okay, let's do this one more time. Everybody look around. Awkward, big eyes, look around this room. Here's the thing. We all need each other. Like, you guys actually need each other. That is the way that God created the body, and that is the purpose of us, is that we need each other. So when you go to small groups on Wednesday, and you look around, it's not this. She's so, ugh. I'm sure that never happens here. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she wore that. And that's just the boys. Just joking, guys. Or guys just come and be like, dude, that guy's so dumb. Oh, he's so little, little, little. But we don't have to do that anymore, because then we can look at each other and we go, oh, wait, I actually need him because he's a part of the body and I'm better together than I am apart. I can accomplish more when we team up and we start to realize what our role and our purpose is inside the body. And so we need each other. And God has created you uniquely. And he's given you gifts and abilities. And he did not make a mistake on that. Let's pray. God, I love that you've created us differently. I love that we are not all the same. I love that the body is made up of so many different parts. And God, that we can have confidence in ourselves, not because we ourselves are great, but because, God, you are great and you have created us in your image and given us passions and gifts and abilities. So, God, I would just pray in this moment, if students are feeling this weight of having to compare and measure up, that they can let that go. Let that weight of having to try to live up to other people's standards go, but God, that we can look at you and just go, okay, God, you've created us. You know best. I'm going to trust that you know best what I need and what's good for me and how you've made me. And so, God, we can just live in that. That we're not like a potato head with a bunch of mouths, but we're a part of a body, many parts, one body. We are a unit. God, thank you for that. Thanks for these students. Thanks that you are already using us and these students in this room to carry out your kingdom vision. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.